This week's guest has spent 25 years in the financial services industry, including the past 8 years at Primary Bank, where she recently took the reins as president and CEO. We explore her career and discuss her plans for the bank's future. I'm Matt Mowry, co-publisher and executive editor of Business NH Magazine and Granite Media Group.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan, co-publisher of Business NH Magazine and chief creative officer for Granite Media Group. And welcome to BizCast NH.
So, in honor of our guest today.
Yes.
And in honor of us now being in, you know, the second half of our lives where you start thinking about
Excuse
the future.
Me.
Well, except you, of course. Except
just
you.
Kidding.
I am.
I'm just kidding.
Most ensconced in. So, what I wanted to talk about saving for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it seems so far away when you're in your 20s and your 30s and you're so carefree and like, oh, I've got time for that. I'm now in my 50s. And thank God I married a saver,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, you know, money would just sift through the, you know, my fingertips as soon as it came in contact. So we're doing pretty good. But I am starting to get into that. Oh, my gosh, if I want to retire in 20 years, am I going to die at a desk?
Yes.
What were your feelings
on
that?
Yeah, I always say, you know, it's I have an annual meeting with my financial advisor. I think what a lot of people do when you have a company-sponsored 401k or an IRA or something like that. And I always said, well, okay, I can make it to 72, and then that's it. I'm done. Based on what I was looking at financially.
I'm giving like, myself an expiration
date. I'm going to
live
in a cardboard box, and then 72, bye-bye, see you later. But I've always been a saver. I think I'm like your wife. I'm more of a saver than a spender. So I know when I spend, I don't feel too guilty about it because I know I've kind of saved up for it. Big purchases like my house or the company we own, you know. But it is, as you get older, you start to look at your retirement savings. And yeah, it's a little scary.
It is, because I always thought we did pretty good. Like, mm-hmm. we saved from early on.
Yeah.
And I always contributed to my 401k. Like, I'm like, I'm not leaving free money on the table. If my employer wants to give it to me, go ahead. You know, so I always made sure I was at least getting the minimum there to get my match in. We became parents later in life in mm-hmm. our 40s. And, I mean, we adopted, so our kids were, you know, we didn't start from ground zero. So, I mean, but still.
They were little.
They were little. And you start going like, okay, college, I've got a 15-year-old. Yeah. And doing the calculus, like, in possibly 3 years, I'm going to have to start paying for college.
Yeah.
And then his brother is like 3 years behind him on that. And then you start doing the math and you're like, I'm going to be that old. You know, it used to be like when we adopted them, it was like doing the math. I'm like, how old are they going to be when they potentially leave the house? Like, oh my God, that's how old I'm going to be.
Right.
And now I'm like, oh my gosh, how old am I going to be before I can afford to retire at all?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a lot to think about. I remember starting a 401k or an IRA in my 20s and being like, oh, great, putting money in. But you really start to look at it as you get older and go, okay, like, when you're very young, the ebbs and flows of the market don't really bother you too much. And I mean, I still got quite a few years before retirement, but still you start to watch those a little bit closer. You're like, where are those numbers going?
I think this is where we, and I think we're getting better at it because there's a lot of programs that especially banks do now to go into the schools and educate kids about financial services. But I think that was a big failure in our generation,
mm-hmm.
is that there wasn't. And I even went, you know, I was in public school up until high school, and then I went into private school. And even there, I didn't come out knowing how to do my taxes. I didn't come out knowing how to save. I mean, at that point, I was saving from my part-time job. But mm-hmm. there just isn't enough financial education, I think, that takes place so that we, as Americans, as we go out and try to adult, can do so effectively from an early age.
Definitely. And I think on that note, to segue in, that's a great lead into our guest today, who's going to tell us a lot about the financial industry and specifically Primary Bank, which she has just become the president of. So let me introduce our guest today. Our guest today is Crystal Dion. She has more than 25 years of financial expertise and has been part of Primary Bank's management team for 8 years, serving as executive vice president and CFO before recently being appointed president and CEO of the Bedford-based bank. Crystal, a certified public accountant, also held a senior management role in both state and municipal government for nearly 20 years. In addition, she has served as president of both the New Hampshire and New England Finance Associations and is currently president of the Bedford Rotary Club. Crystal, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So we have a lot to delve into. So first, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
The promotion and taking over the top spot. And I think kind of start there because I think that's really interesting is that, you know, transitions are always an interesting thing. And even really good transitions, it can be hard because it's change. Change is hard. But what was it like for you having to take over from a founding president, which, you know, I would can be an intimidating thing?
Yeah, you know, you would think it's an intimidating thing. However, being in on the ground floor of Primary Bank, so I was there before we even opened our doors. I came on when we were, you know, in formation and working on our capital raise. So really knowing the, you know, the bank from the ground up. And in my role as the chief financial officer, I worked side by side, day by day with the CEO. And yes, he's, you know, was the founding CEO, but he, you know, he taught me a lot. You know, in his tenure there, and again, working alongside him on a daily basis, I was involved in pretty much everything that was going on at the bank. So, you know, truly it was very much a seamless transition. Not only did I know the entire staff, but the entire staff knew me as well. So it wasn't as challenging as if we had someone from the outside come in.
Sure. And it's such a unique story and a unique opportunity in terms of Primary Bank is one of the few locally founded and owned banks that has started in New Hampshire in the last decade. And, you know, it's not many people can say I was there before it even opened.
Right. Yeah.
So what made you want to first take a risk on a new venture like that to be part of the building of Primary Bank? What was it about its mission and what, you know, the folks that were establishing this and that you wanted to be part of that?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. And truly, it was a matter of trust. You know, the individuals who started this bank had a vision of bringing a community bank after the financial crisis, and they were having difficulty getting access to capital for their businesses in New Hampshire. You know, the founding members felt it was time. It was a difficult time, and I think there were a lot of you know, a lot of others in the industry who thought they might have been a little nuts to start a bank at that point in time. But you know, but they saw the need. They saw the need, and you know, they truly, you know, truly developed a mission to bring access to capital to small businesses and really help the New Hampshire economy. So I found that, you know, I found that work to be very crucial in growing New Hampshire's economy. And coming from a government background, you know, jumping into a banking background, you know, it was still finance. I was still, you know, still going into a finance role and also a role in an industry that's very heavily regulated. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't scary for me to go from, you know, regulation in government to, you know, regulation in the business industry, banking industry rather. So it truly was, a leap of faith, as you mentioned, going into a completely different industry. But I trusted the founders, trusted in their vision, trusted in their mission, and trusted them individually because I had known the founding chairman for over 20 years. So truly that's why I made that leap.
And so let's explore a bit more about why Primary Bank was founded and how it's accomplishing that mission. And how is the bank doing now? Is it 8 years down the road? Nine?
So we're coming up on 9 this July.
Wow. So wow. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's gone by pretty fast. You know, we have grown exponentially, you know, in the last 8 years. And it's been, I have to say, it's been a wild ride. You know, we were growing pretty rapidly the first few years. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. And then it was, you know, it was all hands on deck. And we nearly doubled in size in just 1 year because of the effects of the pandemic and the PPP lending. So it truly, you know, it everything happened very fast.
And what, you know, the PPP lending, I mean, it was a lifeline for so many businesses, ours included. And people, I mean, I don't have to tell you, but I mean, people were scrambling at that point. Banks were quickly being handed, you know, some new regulations and mandate
yes.
to get money out as quickly and efficiently as they could into hands of businesses.
Yes.
And there was a flood, and not all banks responded in the same way.
Correct.
And not all people were able to get funding through previous bank relationships or had let some of those banking relationships lapse. What were you finding were bringing people to you that you doubled so much?
It truly was because we were first out of the gate. There is not a bank in New Hampshire that responded quicker than Primary Bank. As soon as that directive came down, we basically said, all right, let's open the doors. We're going to help as many people as we can, as many businesses as we can, whether they're clients or not. We're just going to welcome them in. And we were finding our phones were ringing off the hook. There were people pacing our sidewalk, even though our lobby was closed. I remember sitting in my office and watching a gentleman pacing outside the sidewalk, and I recognized him because he's a colleague of mine at the Bedford Rotary. And so I went outside and I asked him, you know, is everything okay? And I knew he was not a client of the bank. And he has a small business just down the street from our branch. You know, so I asked him, is everything okay? You know, he was on the phone. He was trying to get a hold of his banker, and no answer. He couldn't get a hold of his banker. He was panicking. He was panicking for his small business. Mm-hmm. And so I said, look, hang up the phone. Come on in. We're going to take care of you. And we did. And it's stories like that as to why we grew so fast, because we opened our doors no matter who they were, whether they were a client or not. We wanted to help as many small businesses as we could because, again, that was the mission of Primary Bank. That is why we were founded. And this was our opportunity really to, you know, to give back. And because of that, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of loyalty from those non-clients who got what they needed as fast as we could get it to them, you know, without being a client. And they very quickly became clients.
And it's one thing, you know, in a crisis to get the business. It's quite another to hang on to it. So it sounds like that's something that Primary's been successful at. And we should note here that Business New Hampshire Magazine is
Granite
a client.
Media Group,
and Granite yeah. Media Group is a client of Primary
well,
Bank.
Well, thank yes. you so much.
Well, thank you. You provided us our loan when we bought the business.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
So we
definitely
just
a big
to
help
that.
in allowing us to purchase the company. So it's
yes.
great.
So what, you know, what has been key to hanging on or retaining clients as you continue to build? And what is a very competitive banking environment?
No doubt about it. It is a very competitive environment, not just for community banks, but for some of the larger banks that, you know, have a lot of the market share. We're seeing banks come in, you know, now from New York and come up over the border from Massachusetts. And we're starting to see some Maine banks coming down into our space. So you're right. There's a lot of competition. And truly, our ability to hang on to clients and continue to grow our business has been the service and the mission and, you know, just what we are setting out to accomplish for the New Hampshire economy. We have been very steadfast in our messaging and letting all of our clients and potential clients know that when you invest in Primary Bank or, you know, or bring your deposit accounts to Primary Bank, we are reinvesting those in your communities. And there are very few banks, very few, who can say the same thing. And we've made a dedicated effort to invest nearly 95% of everything that we've taken in back into the New Hampshire economy. Now, you know, I'd love to say it's 100%, but of course we have some clients who may be local, but they perhaps may have a secondary business or, you know, or a lending need that's perhaps just over the border, whether it's Massachusetts or Maine. So we do, you know, trickle out a little over the border, but the vast, vast majority of what we do is local lending right here in the southern New Hampshire market.
And we'll be right back. Are you looking for quality networking in a fun environment? Join Business NH Magazine for the return of the ultimate Biz NH Bash at the McAuliffe Shepherd Discovery Center in Concord on March 28th. Meet leaders from New Hampshire's 2023 Top 100 Private Companies, Top Women-Led Businesses, Top Family-Owned Businesses, and New Hampshire's Startup Stars, plus the 40 influential leaders in New Hampshire as featured in the January issue of Business NH Magazine. Enjoy delicious appetizers and cocktails, explore museum exhibits, take fun photos in our photo booth, and mingle with the stars of New Hampshire business while gazing at the stars. For more information, visit businessnhmagazine.com/events. Sponsored by Merchants Fleet, Northeast Delta Dental, Unitil, Ledyard Bank, Eversource, and UHY Advisors. Buy local at the 27th Annual Made in New Hampshire Try It and Buy It Expo on April 5th, 6th, and 7th at the DoubleTree by Hilton Expo Center in downtown Manchester. Browse a dazzling array of locally made products and sample tons of tasty treats. Purchase fine jewelry, clothing and accessories, bath and body products, handcrafted items for the home, one-of-a-kind art pieces, and more. And you'll be supporting local businesses. And don't forget to say hello to all the rescue animals at Live and Let Live Farm. Swing by the libation station to sample and buy wine, beer, mead, and spirits all made in the Granite State. So bring the entire family to the Made in New Hampshire Try It and Buy It Expo at the DoubleTree by Hilton Expo Center on April 5th, 6th, and 7th. You won't believe what's made in New Hampshire. For more information or to apply to be a vendor, visit madeinnhexpo.com. Sponsored by Northeast Delta Dental and Business NH Magazine. And we're back with Crystal Dion of Primary Bank. So I want to take a step back and talk about your background a bit and what I know you have a journey that brought you to Primary Bank. You said you had 20 years in government. So can you give us a little bit of a background of what your maybe what your education was in and what brought you along through to being president of Primary Bank?
Sure. So, you know, so very, very quick path here. I went to Bentley College and I graduated with a degree in accounting. I got my master's degree at Southern New Hampshire University. And shortly after, did get my license to become a CPA. Throughout that educational journey, I worked at the state of New Hampshire. I was a financial auditor for the state. I shortly moved over to the Lottery Commission. I was there for a few years, and then I moved into, after about six years in state government, moved over to municipal government, where I was with the town of Bedford as their CFO for a number of years. And I did about a year stint as the town manager, too, kind of filling in, bridging a gap there. So, just that journey and the people that I met along the way, again, as I mentioned, one of the founders of Primary Bank, who is the chairman of our board, is an individual who was on my town council, and that's how I got to know him. And he got to know me as well, knew my background, knew my expertise in the financial space. And, he's the one who came to me saying, hey, I'm starting a bank. What do you think about coming over and working for us? And I said, well, you're nuts right now because we're just on the tail end of a financial crisis here. Who starts a bank, at that time? And he said, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be great. Come on over. And again, you know, like I said before, I trusted this individual, and it was time. It was time to change my career. I had done pretty much all that I could do in the municipal space. You know, as you were reading my bio, I was the president of the Government Finance Officers Association in New Hampshire. Went on to be president of New England. I was actually appointed as the vice chair of the Budget and Fiscal Policy Committee of National GFOA, which took me to DC a handful of times to work with that group and work on best practices. So I had done a lot for the municipal, you know, the municipal arena, and trying to be always one of those early adopters and, you know, those policy writers and, you know, someone that other municipal finance people, you know, could look to. And so after doing that for a number of years, it truly was just time for me to expand my own knowledge and really try and see, all right, what else can I do? And so that's why I decided to, you know, to take that leap and go into banking. And, you know, 8 years later, here I am sitting as the CEO. And, you know, it's a bit surreal to become the CEO of a bank because, you know, many people don't know there are very few female CEOs. Mm-hmm. Less than 5% of bank CEOs are female. So, wow. You know, so I am joining a very small group of powerful women. And, you know, I just hope to do the position justice and encourage other young women to pursue those executive roles.
And not to have you speak for an entire industry, but I mean, you do bring up, you know, an interesting point is that in banking, there is such a small percentage of women in top leadership roles. And yet it is a industry that sees a lot of women coming in and entry level and giving lots of opportunities to rise up the ranks. Where do you think that stopgap happens in the banking industry that it could be improved?
You know, Matt, I wish I knew. You know, to your point, more than half of banking employees are female. Mm-hmm. You know, so 50% being female, but, you know, as I just mentioned, less than 5% rise to the role of CEO. And, you know, I wish I knew what the answer was as to why more females are not moving into those top leadership roles. With my current work with the American Bankers Association, I have been appointed to Emerging Leaders, which is a council of made up of one individual from each state in the country. So I am the New Hampshire representative. And we are trying to really generate the next leaders in the banking space. And you can be assured that I will be leaning towards really trying to position other women to move into those leadership roles.
So in that, do they have you, since you're the representative from New Hampshire, is your focus mainly on growing the New Hampshire people in that role, or is it nationally?
It is nationally. So American Bankers Association is a national organization. Mm-hmm. And it really, you know, it does trickle down through all of the state associations. So mm-hmm. the state of New Hampshire also has a banking association, which is affiliated with this national organization. So I do think through that, you know, through that outlet, it will trickle down into New Hampshire. But the work that I'm doing is at a national level.
I see.
So what were some of the lessons you learned in government work that you've been able to transfer over to your work at Primary Bank? You know, whether they were what to do or what not to do.
Yeah.
But what were some, you know, your valuable lessons that you pulled through, you know, your work through both state and municipal work?
You know, I think that it was truly learning how to be a master at multitasking. That is something that I found was necessary in government. You know, of course, we have, at that point, we were answering to taxpayers. You know, trying to keep the tax base as low as possible. And so in that role, I had to wear a lot of hats. And that is a skill that has become very transferable in a community bank. Because again, being a community bank, we have to wear a lot of hats and, you know, try and keep our expenses down, just like any other business. Mm-hmm. Primary Bank is an entrepreneurial bank. So we are entrepreneurs, just like the businesses we are trying to serve. So we understand what it takes. We understand all of the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into getting your business off the ground and keeping your business thriving, and all the countless hours that you put in. You become a jack of all trades, when you're a small business owner. And we have to do the same thing. We have to be nimble. We have to be quick. We have to be decisive. And again, those are just all skills that have transferred from one position to the next.
It's such an interesting time right now in both, you know, our economy and in our government. We're in the midst of a presidential election. We have seen a struggle to get inflation completely under control. We've seen a lot of high interest rates. And you have, you know, a front row seat to small businesses in New Hampshire and how they're contending with all this. What are you seeing out there in terms of businesses' concerns right now and their needs from banks? And what are your concerns when it comes to how the banking industry is going to be able to meet those needs?
It's a struggle, without question. It's a struggle for small businesses right now because there are several banks who are not lending. You know, that's what we're right. hearing out on the street. They're having difficulty getting access to capital. And not only that, but it's very expensive. You know, of course, we're on a 40-year, you know, high right now, a 40-year shock, to rates. And that, that is very, very difficult for, you know, the regular business owner to be able to afford that capital, you know, to grow or sustain their business. So that is, that's becoming an increasing concern. The ability to even get the lending that they need is becoming an increasing concern. And that's one of the, you know, that's one of the areas that Primary is really trying to step in and trying to make sure that we provide, as much as we possibly can, in order to help these small businesses.
And so can you walk us through a bit of Primary's growth over these last 9 years and what that growth has looked like and what's resulted in so far?
So, our growth, of course, we started with nothing. We had a building, and I still remember the days where we had trash bags hanging off the doorknobs because we didn't even have trash cans. You know, so we quite literally started with just the four walls. And, we built a great team. We built a team that knows the market very, very well. And again, we're a commercial lender. Lending institution. So our focus on lending is really on that commercial side. And that has allowed us the ability, to really keep our staff small. Once you branch into the consumer side of things, it gets a little more complicated on the compliance end of things. So really focusing on, what we know and what we do best. So we like to say we stick to the knitting, basically, in order to grow our business. And, we've continued to just provide excellent service. We've continued to provide our messaging about growing the New Hampshire economy, and it resonates with a lot of individuals. It resonates with the small business owner, in order to know that their money's staying locally and they're not giving it to some, big box bank who's sending it out to corporate or investing in a skyscraper, across the country. The money's staying right here, being put to use right here in New Hampshire, and that means a lot to the small business owner in New Hampshire. We're kind of a unique state in that way. So that truly, that messaging, the team we've built has really been our catalyst to bring our growth to where we are today, and just continuing to do what we do, continuing to reach out to the market, spreading our message. And that's how we expect to continue to grow.
And how many employees and branches do you have?
So we started with just the one branch, headquarters in Bedford, and we opened our doors with 15 employees. We now have 64 employees in 4 branches. So in addition to Bedford, we opened in Manchester down on Elm Street. We're on Crystal Ave in Derry. And then our newest branch is on Amherst Street in Nashua.
And so in this competitive environment, as you look to grow, what does growth look like for Primary Bank, and how do you go about choosing where you're going to grow to next?
That's an excellent question. And, you know, as I mentioned before, our market truly is the Southern New Hampshire market. You know, so we strategically place our branches. And again, we're business focused. So we strategically place those branches where they would be most convenient for centralized businesses in those particular markets. So, you know, truly, you know, branching down the 93 corridor, perhaps we might branch out, you know, towards the Seacoast, but really focusing on the Southern New Hampshire market.
So I just want to dive into you as a person. We like to get a little bit of insight into people outside of work. So tell us a little something about yourself that either people might not know, something you enjoy doing outside of work.
What would people be surprised to learn?
Yeah. Oh, what would people be surprised to learn about me? Let's see. Well, I was an entrepreneur myself. I ran my own small business for 15 years.
That's great.
Prior to coming over to banking, I have a passion for the arts and a passion for ballet. So I did run my own small studio for 15 years, where I taught ballet classes after work. You know, I would work my full time job, and then I would go teach at my school. 7 days a week.
I love that. I love that.
And it was wonderful. It was definitely an outlet for me, my creative outlet. Kept me active. When you're working in finance and you're looking at numbers all day long and, you know, looking at data and statistics, I really needed that, you know, I really needed that creative side to just continue, you know, to grow. So that allowed me to do that. And so that's probably something a lot of people don't know about me. I still have a passion for the ballet and go as often as I possibly can.
I think that's great.
So is ballet your choice of dance, as it were?
Most certainly, yes.
And what
yes.
attracted you to ballet? And did you start off as, you know, a little girl?
I really did. I started dancing. I believe my mom put me in dance class when I was 4 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I started, I started dancing and really enjoying it. And I was pretty good at it, if I do say so myself. And then I continued dancing throughout college when I moved to New Hampshire about 30 years ago, just to, you know, to get involved in the community. I was teaching for a small local studio, and then just decided to, you know, to open it for myself because it was something I really enjoyed doing.
My main question is being on point as painful as it looks?
Yes.
What is it about dance? I mean, it's obviously something that has sustained you through your life. You know, it's something that you've turned to quite often.
And yes.
What does dance do for you? What do you get out of dance that has made that part of your life?
You know, dance is such a form of self-expression. It's one of those activities that you can just lose yourself in. You know, you can lose yourself in the music or the interpretation, just the movement of it alone. Obviously the physical side of it is incredibly challenging, especially for a ballet dancer. So that certainly has, you know, kept me healthy, kept me active. But I just truly love, you know, I truly love watching just the expressiveness of the dancers and being able to appreciate what they're doing and knowing how difficult it is and how seamless they make it look.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
So when you aren't running a bank and, you know, not on, you know, the dance floor or in the studio, what are you doing? I'm sure you're copious amounts of spare time.
As most CEOs have.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I'm probably sitting in a theater watching my daughter dance. That's probably what I do because she's very heavily involved in competitive dance right now. So we spend a lot of weekends You know, we spend a lot of weekends at dance. In addition to that, I run a nonprofit in Bedford. It's a scholarship program that is part of the Miss America organization. Mm-hmm. So I run the Miss Bedford organization. So I work with with our candidates, and they're just amazing young women who have community service initiatives that give back to their communities, hundreds of hours, and some of them thousands of hours. So, in my spare time, I like to work with those young girls on their interview skills, on their public speaking. So that's probably where you'll find me, doing one of those things.
What drew you to that?
What drew me to that?
Yeah.
It was a friend of mine who was running, was running a program. She asked me to be on her board because she knew my dance background, and she thought that, some of the talent that these girls have, could use someone who has that knowledge. And so she brought me onto the board, and then she hightailed it out of there and left me with it all by myself.
She had an ulterior motive.
She certainly did. I didn't know it at the time, but she certainly did. And, 10 years later, I'm still doing it and really enjoying it. These are very remarkable young women.
Great. Well, I think we can certainly have a whole nother podcast. I would love to talk more about ballet and the Miss Bedford program.
Of course.
But for today, we're going to be wrapping it up. So we want to say thank you again to Crystal Dion, who is the president and CEO of Primary Bank in Bedford. We appreciate you joining us today. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed the stories and information you heard on today's podcast, find more by subscribing to Business NH Magazine or visiting businessnhmagazine.com. I'm Matt Mowry.
And I'm Christine Kerrigan. BizCast NH is a production of Granite Media Group.